We come before Almighty God in the heavenly places with our hearts known. Our desire is completely open to God, and from whom no secrets are hid. We submit ourselves humbly to the word of our Lord, that we might be shaped and changed by the power of His Spirit to be more like our Savior and Christ. Let us hear and respond to God's will for us by faith, that we may perfectly love Him and magnify His glorious name through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God's will for life this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 59. This is the word of our Lord. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things of your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God Himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and the proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? Hear, O Lord, and answer us, for we are poor and needy. Guard our lives, for we are devoted to you. You are our God. Save your servants who trust in you. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servants, for to you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Listen to our cry for mercy. In the day of our trouble, we will call to you, for you will answer us. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They'll bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts that we may fear your name. We will praise you, O Lord our God, with all our hearts. We will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward us. You have delivered us from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking us, O Lord. A band of ruthless men seek our lives, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to us and have mercy on us. Grant your strength to your servants and save the children of your maidservant. Give us a sign of your goodness that our enemies may see and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped us and comforted us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us prepare our souls with joyful song unto him. Let us stand together and sing to Almighty God. Our sermon text this morning is taken from 2 John, John's second epistle. And it is the whole chapter, all 13 verses. Second John 1 through 13, brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love. That we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, our God, the Creator and Lord, is the God of truth. He is objectively true for you and for me. To the whole creation, God is truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And He dwelt among us full of grace and truth. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. United to Jesus Christ, we are to be the people of truth. God saves us to walk in truth. And this is plain from 2 John. The Apostle John mentions truth 5 times in the first 4 verses. We love each other in the truth. Love and truth go together. We love each other in the truth. We are to know the truth. Christ is with us in the truth. And God commands us to walk in the truth. We know this is important as we heard in our other scripture readings this morning. God is the source of all truth. Truth begins with God, and from God flowing downstream to us, His people. And then He calls us, as the church, to be the pillar of truth. If you look around us, it's clear to see that our world is descending into chaos. The wicked suppress the truth in righteousness. In sin, as Jesus said, they are enslaved to the one they obey. In wickedness, they obey the father of lies. Boys and girls, who is the father of lies? You in the white. Satan is the father of lies. Very good. He is the devil. I called on you because those other two always get called on. Satan loves a straight up lie. He loves it. When a teenage boy can say that he self-identifies as a girl and can use the girl's locker room, Satan loves that. That's a straight-up lie. He rejoices. But if Satan can't get a straight-up lie, he'll take confusion. Mothers, if they want, they can call what grows in their uterus a collection of cells. Satan loves that. Or, if they want, they can call it a baby. Confusion. Lies. Satan rejoices. In our day, the confusion around us is over truth. You'll hear, there's no such thing as objective truth. What's true for you is your truth. What's true for me is my truth. We're each entitled to our own truth. Everyone, every man has his own truth. Every woman has her own truth. This is truthlessness. And ultimately, it's godlessness. And it's leading to the destruction of our civilization. But we as God's people, how do we respond to this? We bear witness to the truth. One reason God calls us as His people is to bear witness to the truth to those around us. To testify to the truth of Almighty God. We have the truth. The true message to the whole world. the church has the number one concrete message, the only message under heaven by which anyone can be saved. We have gospel truth. And the world needs the truth. The world needs to hear the truth. The world needs to be made known what that truth is. It's not what's true for you is true, and not what's true for me is true. Brothers and sisters, that's pagan talk. That's godlessness. That's, I am my own God. I get to decide what's true. Without concrete, objective truth is to be out without the true and the living God. If the world denies truth, the world denies God. To descend into meaninglessness is to fall further away from God. To continue to deny the truth is to fall further and further and further away from God. In the absence of truth, boys and girls, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Cassie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So to be away from the truth is to be away from Christ. The chaos that the world seeks, the chaos that the world clings to instead of truth, the way the world runs away from truth is to their own demise. They run to lies. They run to meaninglessness. Running away from truth is like a dog running to vomit. But we as God's people, we rejoice in the truth. To rejoice in the truth is to rejoice in Christ. Because our search by faith and our landing on truth in Christ has both temporal blessings in the life now and eternal blessings with Him. We confess to God, you've made known to us the way of life, the way of truth. In your presence are eternal pleasures. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pause there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Could I see your eyes on me, please? Good job. Eyes. Good job. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Who can raise your hand and tell me who made you? God. Raise your hand if you were going to say God.
God.
Okay. Hands down. Who can raise your hand and tell me what else did God make? I'm looking for a short answer here. All things. Good answer. All things. Who can raise their hand and tell me who are the three persons of the Trinity? Go ahead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Good job. Raise your hand if you're going to say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, good job. Hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me what book has perfect truth?
The Bible.
Raise your hand if you say Bible. Good job. Hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me how many books are in the Bible? I'm looking for a number. How many books are in the Bible? Dean? Not close. Close. Evan?
66.
All right. Raise your hand if you've ever seen the movie Frozen. Okay. Hands down. Who can raise your hand and tell me who was the guy who sold ice? What was his name? Raise your hand if you can tell me. The guy who sold ice. Abby? Kristoff. And who can raise your hand and tell me who's the princess with the kind of the orange hair and the white streak going through it? Anna. Raise your hand if you remember the scene where Kristoff and Anna are on the sleigh when they just met, right before the wolves showed up. Remember that scene? Okay. Who can raise their hand and tell us What happened to Anna that day that Kristoff was really surprised by? Lennox?
Elsa shot ice at her.
Yeah, I should. Let me ask you. Do you remember when Anna told Kristoff that she got engaged that day? She met a guy and got engaged that day? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Was Kristoff surprised that she got engaged that day to a guy she just met? You don't know. You don't want to. No. Yeah, we know. Frozen. We didn't. Conan the Barbarian, right, Dean? Those are our kind of movies, right? Kristoff was surprised that Anna got engaged. He thought that was a bad idea to get engaged to someone the first day. And then the wolves showed up, right? Remember the wolves showed up? And Anna wanted to take the reins of the sleigh to help Kristoff. Can anyone raise your hand and tell us, what did Kristoff say about Anna taking the reins of the sleigh? And boys, I'm not going to call on you, so don't worry about it. Really? Only one person? Lennox? There's old girl. Go ahead. What am I asking? Go ahead, Dean. Not going to happen. Why, Dean? You're the Frozen expert. Why did Kristoff say it was not a good idea for Anna to have the sleigh? Yeah, but that wasn't the reason he gave her. He said, I don't trust you. Remember that? Kristoff said, Anna, I don't trust you. Why didn't Kristoff trust Anna? Lennox?
Because Sven would technically only listen to his owner.
He thought Sven would only listen to his owner? That's a good guess. But he said, how can I trust someone who just got engaged to a guy she met that day? Anna made a bad decision, and Kristoff said, I don't trust you. I don't trust you because of your bad decisions. Okay? All right, I want to come back to us. We are God's people. Are we supposed to tell the truth, or are we supposed to tell lies? Raise your hand.
Truth.
We're supposed to tell the truth. And we're supposed to tell the truth to each other. And we're supposed to tell truth to unbelievers in the world. If we lie, are unbelievers going to believe us?
No.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. If I lie, are you going to believe anything I say? Yes or no? No.
You're probably lying right there.
What's that?
Probably lying right
there. You think that's a lie? That I'm telling lies? I'm not sure where to start with that one. You're right. If we're going to tell people about Jesus, we want them to be able to trust us. And if we lie and we don't tell the truth, why would anyone trust us? Okay? So should we tell the truth? Tell the truth to each other? Should we tell the truth to people who aren't Christians? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Okay, fold your hands, close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us in your image and saving us in your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit to speak the truth, to walk in the truth, and to love the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can back to your seats.
Can we do a movie? Can I have that last?
I'll take movie requests after the service. In John 8, which you heard earlier, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, by the way, the passage starts with Jesus talking to the Jews who believed in him. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now this passage, that line by Jesus, is consistent with John's message in 2 John. And why wouldn't it be? The Holy Spirit inspired it. God's people, his disciples, love in truth. We know the truth. We walk united to faith in Jesus. We walk in the truth, which the Father commands of us. So Jesus says, continue, seek after, and live by that truth. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to resist the temptation that the world has fallen into. We have to resist the temptation of no truth and no certainty. We have to resist the temptation for utter and total skepticism. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. The world throws up their hands. At the thought of truth, the world throws up their hands and they say, how can we be sure about anything? The world says every person is entitled to his or her own self-identification, his or her own truth. This does not mean that the church has to follow down that road unto insanity, unto destruction by denying truth. We are Christians. We are united to the living truth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are not entitled to our own opinion. We are not entitled to our own interpretation, our own truth. We are to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ and submit to his opinion, his interpretation, his truth. When we as Christians, when we throw up our hands in skepticism and say, well, we'll never know all of this, so why start? We do our Lord a disservice. He didn't save us to live in chaos. He is a God of order, and he brings order to his people by his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit illuminates us to understand his truth. We're not in this by ourselves. The Spirit was not given to the church so we could have 50 different interpretations of the Bible. 50 different truths. God didn't send his Spirit so we can go, we can retreat to our own little private island and say, well, that's just your interpretation. I have mine. That sounds very worldly, doesn't it? You have your truth, I have mine. You have your interpretation, I have mine. Now we're at a standoff. The Spirit works between us. The Spirit knits us together as the body of Christ. He brings us from disorder and chaos with all our baggage, with all our backgrounds, with all our crazy ideas of truth. He brings us together by his Spirit and brings order. Order within God's people. Proverbs 25 says, verse 2 says, it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. Proverbs 17:7, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's by the work of the Spirit. Now it's understandable within a group of people that there will be disagreements. Disagreements in the church. Obviously, we're all at different places in our walk with the Lord. Our growth in him and his truth and maturity. We're all at different places. But from that standpoint, we are to pursue truth. We are to pursue knowledge, understanding, wisdom. He didn't give us the Spirit to remain complacent and just to throw up our hands. It is an ongoing process as disciples to learn everything that God has commanded us. As the church, we are to pursue the truth. We are to pursue unity, and we are to pursue maturity. We can disagree. But we cannot flee to our island, rejecting the pursuit. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete, which is mature and perfect, in the same mind and the same judgment. The Holy Spirit says, we all agree and we have no divisions, we be of the same mind and same judgment. Do we have that? No. The Holy Spirit is still working on us in that. Do we pursue it? Yes. We don't throw it off as some kind of, you know, when Jesus comes back, then we'll have it. We pursue it now. So don't go to your island and say, well, that's just your interpretation. You have your interpretation, I have mine. That's pagan. We're Christians. We talk like Christians. We argue like Christians. And we submit to the Spirit to work between us in our disagreements, to grow, to be humble and say, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Unity is a gospel issue. Truth is a gospel issue. It testifies to our unity. The truth testifies to our unity in Christ. And it testifies that we have the saving message to the world. Objective truth. We tell the world we have the only message of salvation. They need to hear it. But if we resign ourselves in this house to private interpretations, you have your truth, I have mine, you have your interpretation, I have mine, the world says, why should we listen to you? You can't even get it figured out in here. Why should we listen? Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Do you guys agree on that? Do you agree that this is worth obeying? Do you agree on that? All the areas about which we disagree, the world will say, hey, let us know when you have that all figured out. Then we'll listen to you about Jesus. We say, you know what? We have disagreement. We don't have it all figured out. But we're pursuing it. And this is the only message of salvation. So please, come inside. Submit yourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And maybe the Lord will use you by the power of the Holy Spirit to help us figure it out. So let us testify to truth, the truth we have in Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen? Let us pray to Almighty God. Will you pray with me? O God,